Welcome to the Finding Grace in the Wilderness podcast. I'm your host, Sharon Hawkins. Here each week, we will share stories about how God's grace can be found during life's most difficult circumstances. Meet with me around the table as we chat with others who have found that God's faithfulness never ends. We will share truth and life and discuss faith, fears, struggles, and victories. Join us as we seek to grow deeper in relationship with Jesus, the one who makes a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Hi, friends, and welcome back to another episode of Finding Grace in the Wilderness. This week, I'm going to share a special recording from our recent Grace in the Wilderness, Joshua's Hope Christmas brunch for bereaved moms. Allie Pritchett was a scheduled speaker, but she was unable to attend the brunch because her baby girl was in the hospital. I'm happy to report that little Maddie is doing much better, but we still covet your prayers for that family as she continues to get better. In Allie's absence, I spoke at the brunch. Today I'm going to share that talk. This will be our last episode before Christmas. We wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas. As you can tell, I'm not Allie. I did talk with Marie a few minutes ago, and she wanted to let you all know that Allie had spoken to her this morning and wanted each and every one of us to know that she is praying for us today, as we are for her and that precious little grandbaby. So we had a backup plan. You know, we plan and God laughs. So I knew early in the week that we were going to need someone else, a sibling. So I called my son Taylor so he could share about his brother that he lost. And as things would go, his two little ones have become sick. One of them has had a virus. I knew we didn't need to have him be around Marie. So the Lord just whispered in my ear yesterday and said, "You're it." So here I am. And I was gone from 10:30 decorating here yesterday morning until 10:30 last night. And God gave me a word, though, and I'm going to share it. So I didn't get a lot of time to prepare, so please just bear with me. I'm Sharon Hawkins. I don't know that I've even said that today. And I'm one of you. But years before we started this, we started Grace in the Wilderness, and now we have 11 support groups. But this was the first one. And Marie had lost Josh, and she was part of our Grace in the Wilderness. We came together for that ministry, and we decided to do a brunch. And so that's where this started. You know, I'd always been a member, but 4 years ago I became official. And out of 430 women in our group now on our Facebook, I was the only one that had not lost a child. So what are the odds that God's going to take my boy home? But he did. And he works all things. This is Marie's verse, but I'm going to borrow it. Romans 8:28. He works all things together for the good of those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And so as I stood up there on the platform when I spoke at his funeral, because I have a pushy God, I know y'all do too, he told me that I was going to speak, and so I said, "Yes, sir." And I got up there and I shared Bradley's story, and all of you were standing up there with me, the moms that have gone before, that for years I've been to meetings and I've marveled at how in the world you could smile. I've seen Jesus in the purest form through this group for 14 years before. Because how can you possibly go on with joy in your life? Well, I learned. I learned how you do it. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he is the only way. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. On November 10th, 2021, my son Bradley was 21 years old. And I shared my story about 3 years ago, but I'm just going to give you the really brief version. He was doing what he loved that day. My 6'1", 230-pound Eagle Scout. He was off work from Tractor Supply, and he and his girlfriend were spending the day together, and he came by to see me with her, and then they went to Eastleigh, and he and she did what they loved. They hopped on their skateboards at the top of the Doodle Trail near the Eastleigh Police Department in that cemetery. And he went down that hill. Her skateboard started to shimmy, so she stopped. Thank the good Lord that she did. But he took that hill, and when he got to the bottom, there was a bump. And so his skateboard broke, and it threw him. And he hit the pavement, and it hit the back of his head, and he died from cardiac arrest. And in an instant, he was gone. And my world was shattered in a billion pieces. In the days that followed that, I was so broken. I know you know exactly what I'm talking about. And when I woke up the next few mornings, God knew too that I just couldn't live. So I wasn't resting well. But when I did wake up, I found myself those mornings after in prayer with the Lord. It's like he was sitting there waiting on me to wake up, and he was the first voice I heard every morning. I look back at that, and I just cherish that blessing. One morning, he told me that was the morning I said he was pushy. One of the first mornings, he said, "Bradley's story is now yours to tell." And I said, "Well, surely you don't mean at the funeral." He said, "Well, yes, I do." So he held me through that, and y'all did too. Y'all did too. Y'all were on that stage with me that day. But one morning, he woke me up talking to me, and he said, "You're going to write a children's book." Well, it's been 4 years, and I haven't gotten that done. I got to get busy. Marie and I talk all the time. God said, "We got to write books. We got to get going. We got to get going." His is called Bradley's Greatest Adventure, and I have yet to do it, but I plan to. But in the weeks ahead, he died on November 10th, and so it's this time of year. And I would go into the stores, and I would see all this commercialism and these Christmas trees and people scurrying, trying to find a doll for their granddaughter or for, you know, shopping for their families. And I was just so burdened, as I know Christmas puts a blanket when you're hurting. And how many of you have just not wanted to put a tree up? That first, especially the early. Yes, it's hard. And we are the women. We are the ones that we feel sometimes we have to make Christmas for everybody else. But when you're so broken, it's hard. So I was praying one day, and the Holy Spirit said to me, "Hey, Sharon, look at the tree." Boy, I don't mean to cry. Thank you. I died for you on a tree. When you go in those stores and you see all that hustle bustle, look deeper and look into that tree. I died for you on that tree. And because I died for you on that tree, you're going to see Bradley again, because he accepted me as his Savior. And also, Bradley was a nature lover. And he hiked the Appalachian Trail a month before he passed. And so trees, evergreen trees, are special to me. And since that year, the evergreen tree has helped me. The evergreen tree is a symbol of everlasting life. You know, have you ever wondered why we have the Christmas tree? That's why. And if we look deeper, Jesus died for us on a tree, and we have the evergreens. They're always alive. And because of his great gift, I know that I'm going to live in heaven forever one day. I have the pine lotion, and I have the Fraser fir candles. I have everything. Bradley has an evergreen tree on his grave, because he was not a silk petunia kind of boy. You know? He has an evergreen tree. And a couple weeks ago, I went over there after church, all the hustle bustle, and I sat at his grave, and I put those ornaments on it. I do it every year. And I sit there and talk to him, you know. But it changed my perspective. We moms, most of us have something. Does anybody have an item, something that they collect, something that helps them to remember their child? Anybody want to share one thing? What's that, Brenda?
Cardinals,
yeah.
Cardinals.
How many cardinal mamas we got? Okay, yeah. You know, there's a saying that when you see a cardinal, it's a loved one that comes to visit you. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, cardinals are special. Anybody else have one? Tree frogs. You want to tell us why?
Josiah caught them when he was, that was his favorite animal. And when he was young, he wanted a tree frog. He wanted a frog for his birthday. So we went to the pet store, got paid a little bit for the frog, but then $125 for everything the frog needed. And one morning I said, Josiah, your frog is not moving. And I said, what happened? He said, and I said, Josiah? He said, well, God put those suction cups on the bottom of their feet for a reason. And I said, what did you do? And he said, I was just throwing it up to the ceiling. Oh, my God. He said, it died. And it's always been cardinals, really, because I make cardinal gifts for people. But then God started bringing tree frogs around. Mm-hmm. And on Josiah's birthday 2 years ago, Terry came in there and he said, come to the door. You're not going to believe this. A tree frog was on my door looking into the kitchen. And then last year for his birthday, we were going to breakfast with some friends. We pull in the parking lot and we park right behind a vehicle, and they had a tree frog tire cover, wheel cover, on his birthday. And so that he just loved, frogs were his thing, and I'd laugh every time I see them. But God does those favors for us.
Yes, yes, that's awesome.
Butterflies.
Yeah, a butterfly lingered around your door, right? A yellow butterfly.
Butterflies surrounded us.
After Josh passed.
And butterflies will, even now, they'll land on us and sit there. And, I mean, they have all of us. Mm-hmm. And it seems like when we need something the most, you'll see these butterflies. Right when I was diagnosed, I went outside and these butterflies were flying around. And mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's butterflies.
Yeah. And that's like Roxy, who can't join us. She joined us. She lives in Ohio. And Roxy is all about raising
monarchs. Yes, monarchs. Roxy. Yes.
And so that is just an amazing gift she's given us. Yes.
And she did a release, and she did one for Josh. I know she did some for y'all. Yeah. But it was the sweetest thing, and she videoed it because we couldn't be there. Yeah. So she videoed it and sent us all videos when she released the butterflies in memory of our kids.
Yes. Did you want to share?
The rainbows.
Yes.
After Matthew's passing, sometimes when I just was feeling so just grief-stricken, and I'd say, Lord, I just, please, make yourself known to me in a very real way. And I cannot tell you how many times he's painted a rainbow in the sky, just for me. Mm-hmm. So they mean a lot.
That's good.
Rainbows mean a lot.
That's
and
good.
A reminder that God keeps his promises.
Right. Right. His promises are true. So if you don't have something, don't worry. Don't worry. My point is, we as moms do what we have to do. We find things and ways that we cope. But don't let anyone tell you how to grieve. Don't let anybody tell you. I had someone tell me to get over it this week. Someone close to me that really deeply hurt me. I know she didn't mean it, but she doesn't understand. So don't let anybody tell you that. You embrace your sadness. You cry when you need to. And you laugh when it comes. Don't fight the laughs either. I know there's been times when I was laughing and I would almost feel guilty. I was like, why am I laughing? You know, my family's suffering. They're grieving and here I am laughing. But God is so amazing that he allows joy to exist with sorrow. And I pray that you will find that if you're in a stage where you don't feel joyful. I pray you will find that. I have this thing when I get nervous and when I cry, my throat closes up. But God called me to talk and do a podcast and all this stuff. So I can edit it out on my podcast, but I can't here. So I'm sorry. I'm not sick. I'm just nervous and crying. So anyway, the candles, when I put those together, I put you a little bit of evergreen there. So you can think about that. But if you are a child of God, then you know he's your Savior. He died for all of us, and we can have eternal life through him. So that's what this evergreen on your candle represents. And you can use those candles tomorrow night if you do the Compassionate Friends. You can use those. So create new traditions, but do what helps you to honor your child. And there are some years that moms don't feel that they can come to our event. That's happened. And then there's some years they can't wait to be here with others. So just wanted to say that. This time of year, we are concentrating on Christmas, and we're concentrating on Advent. And during this season, we're looking back. Advent is the arrival of a notable person, thing, or event. So it's about the arrival of Christ. There are two Advents. The first Advent is when he came as a baby in the manger. The second will be when he returns for us. So God, even before Jesus came, God in the Bible showed a number of times when he wanted to get close to his people. And that's not a new thing. He walked with Adam and Eve in the garden, and that's Genesis 3:8. He led his people out of Egypt. We saw that. We saw him part the Red Sea. We've seen God in the realest form in the Bible, walking with man. He's always wanted to be with us. And his presence filled the tabernacle as he led the Israelites. In the fiery furnace, he was in there with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the most real way. There are tons of other examples where God wanted to come close to us. And I've never had him come closer to me than when I was at my lowest, when I lost my son. I would go down into Bradley's garden where he had planted some stuff, and I'd just sit there, and I'd say, God, just give me something. Just give me something. And he was there. He's a faithful friend, and he sticks closer than a brother. And the coming of Jesus fulfills so many prophecies in the Bible. It's the coming of the one that God's people had been hoping for so long. And I wanted to read very briefly here the Christmas story. We don't normally do that, but I'm going to share that. From Luke 2, the doctor is my favorite. Luke 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration where Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. So Jesus coming to earth, he wanted to be with us. And that is how he made a way for us to be made right with him, so that we could be called his children and to be with him for eternity. But you know, Jesus being born in Bethlehem was not the final advent. We're looking for that final return. Revelation 21, 1 through 7. This is our hope. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, and nor sorrow, nor crying, nor pain. All these things are forever gone." That's what we have to look for. I wanted to share with you a liturgy. This is what my son had prepared, and it's a beautiful liturgy. So if you agree with this in your heart and you want to pray this, it's a liturgy for missing someone. "We willingly carry this egg. We carry it, O Father, to you. You created our hearts for unbroken fellowship, yet the constraints of time and place and the stuttering rhythms of life in a fallen world dictate that all fellowships in these days will at times be broken or incomplete. We acknowledge, O Lord, that it is a right and a good thing to miss deeply those whom we love, but with whom we cannot physically be present. Grant us, therefore, God, courage to love well, even in this time of absence. Grant us courage to shrink neither from the aches nor from the joys that love brings for each. Willingly received, will accomplish the good works you have appointed them to do. Therefore, we praise you, even with our sadness, knowing that the sorrows we steward in this life will in time be redeemed. We praise you also, knowing that these glad aches are a true measure of the bonds you have wrought between our hearts. Now use our sorrows as tools in your hand, O Lord, shaping our hearts into a truer imitation of the affections of Christ. Use even this sadness to carve out spaces in our souls where still greater repositories of holy affection might be held, unto the end that we might better love in times of absence and in times of presence alike. We now entrust all to your keeping. May our reunion be joyous in the life to come. How we look forward, O Lord, to the day when all of our fellowships will be restored, eternal and unbroken. Remembering, O Christ, that you regarded our helpless estate and came to dwell among us as the promised fulfillment of all holy desires, we turn our hearts now to remembrance of your works. You came to us, O Lord, as a lantern in the darkness. Now illumine our way. You came to us as a song in the midst of our sorrow. Now kindle our hope. You came to us as a balm on the bed of our sufferings. Now be our healing. You came to us as a shelter amidst the violence of storms. Now grant us peace. You came to us as mercy in the place of our shame. Now be our righteousness. You came to us as a king upon the fields of our defeat. Now be our salvation. You came to us as a child trembling in the midnight of our despair. Now be our God. remembering these manifold joys and blessings of your first advent, how our hearts long to witness the glories of your promised return. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Oh, come, Emmanuel. Amen. Emmanuel means God with us. He is always there. Even when we can't, he can. Sometimes it seems hopeless. Things happen that we don't understand. But one thing that we can rely on is that God is always there and always faithful. And I just pray this Christmas that you all feel his love in a very special and close way, and he holds you like no one else can. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of Finding Grace in the Wilderness. May God lead you safely through your wilderness as you trust him, and may his river of grace always flood your desert times. He is doing a new thing. Let's not miss it. Subscribe or follow to make sure you don't miss a single episode. See you here next time.